Okay, I want to start with something hopefully fun. I don't know. I'm going to ask you, if you could, turn to your neighbor, say hello, and I'm going to give you like maybe a minute, a little over a minute. So this is like a speed run maybe. But with your neighbor, try to find something that you have in common. So maybe you like, I don't know, maybe you like cats, you like bubble tea, I don't know. I don't know what it is. Turn to your neighbor, try to find something you have in common. Okay, I'll stop you there. That was amazing. You guys jumped right into that. How'd you do? You find something? Yeah? That's pretty good. That was quick. That's pretty good. Man, I'm so curious to hear some of your responses to that. It's so helpful to find things that we have in common because then we kind of become like a collective group, right? Like, it's like we're both dog people, or you know what I mean? And you can become like a group and you identify with one another. I think it's funny whenever you travel internationally, right? Do you ever like put a Canadian flag on your luggage or something? Because people love Canadians, right? And it's like, this is who I belong to. I belong to these people. And internationally, they get kind of excited about that. Or maybe you just have a friend group and you're like, this is who I belong to. You know, I belong to these people or my family or maybe a sports jersey of a specific hockey team, right? It's like, this is who I belong to. That's what we're going to be looking at here this morning as we continue in this Psalm 100 series. Who do we belong to? Let me read this verse here for us this morning. It's going to be verse 3. And it says this, "Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture." So let's look at this. The first line there, "Know that the Lord is God." And we could just pause here for a second. That line, it's probably easy to miss, right? As we've been reading through this psalm, that's an easy line to miss. It's like, obviously, He is God, right? It might seem obvious. It's similar, as I reflect on it, it really reminds me of Psalm 46:10, where it says, "Be still and know that I am God." Right? That's a well-known verse, really. It's saying the same thing, like, pause and know who is God. Maybe this line, it seems really obvious, but I think it's something we really need to hear and to intentionally actually remember. Right? It's easy to say with our mouth, like, obviously, who is God? It's Him, right? He is God, but then our actions speak really loudly, and maybe the way we live, it actually isn't so clear in our lives that He is God. You know, maybe we kind of try to be God. We try to be in control, or we just don't quite recognize His sovereignty all the time. You know, it's easy with our mouths to say that line, right? Like, of course, He is God. But if we're still completely just preoccupied with ourselves and with what I want and with what I want to control, maybe we don't actually believe that he is God in our hearts. You know, we can say with our mouths, like, of course, he is God. He's the Lord. But then we still walk past the orphan and the widow. We can say with our mouths that he is God, but then we're just consumed and stressed and anxious by the movements of the world and the news cycle and everything going on around us. We can say with our mouths that he is God, but then we still try to control every little thing, even controlling what we think is good and right and living according to our own wisdom, according to what he tells us is good. Friends, when we truly know who he is, when we truly recognize that he alone is God, we start to learn who we are. And as we recognize that, it changes us. It changes how we act. It changes how we live. It changes who we are when we know that he is God. Again, I love in Psalm 46, right? Be still and know that I am God. How often are we still in our day-to-day lives? Probably not very often. Our lives, we're busy, we're hectic. There's always so much media and news and everything that we consume, and there's so much going on. It's rare for us to be still, even though that's what Jesus calls us to. Even in those quiet moments that you might have in your day-to-day life, it's so easy to fill those moments, right? To try to fill those moments of still and of peace with noise, right? Go on your phone whenever there's a moment of silence. Maybe turn on the news or go on social media or start to scroll or put on a podcast. It's so easy to just always have noise and never be still. But friends, this first line, when we truly can declare that we know that he is God, then we can be still. Maybe we need to know he is God because we're afraid. Because we're afraid. You know, again, there's so much media and we're always seeing so much happening around the world and there can be chaos and violence and division, and we can start to feel afraid. Over the past couple of weeks, even as I've kept up with all that's happening around the world, there's been moments where I have felt afraid. And maybe you have too. But friends, when we truly know that he is God, we can know that everything is going to be okay. Think about it like this. If Jesus is who he says he is, and if Jesus, as we believe, he rose from the grave, everything is going to be okay. If Jesus, he rose from the grave, then whatever we fear, whatever we think is so big, whatever we think is so important, probably isn't as big as we think. If Jesus, he raised from the dead, then social media and news cycles and all the opinions we feel like we have, they probably don't matter as much as we're led to believe. Friends, when we know that he is God, everything falls into place. And we can have this eternal perspective. Right, knowing like, yeah, there's so much chaos going on, but he is God and he is good. And even as Babylon rises and falls through all the generations, we can know who the true and eternal king is. Even as we look to and reflect really on our 55th anniversary as a church, it's so important for us to remember this, that he is God, right? Nobody brought us to this place, to this 55th anniversary, right? It wasn't a pastor. It wasn't an elders board that brought us to this place. No, he is God, and he is faithful. Who is building our church? It's not me. It's not the leadership, right? It's Jesus. Just like he said he would. He said he is going to build his church. So friends, can we know that he is God? That he made us? That we are his, even as this passage says? And something I want to kind of twist on. So, he's God, right? Part of what that means is that I'm not God, right? Another like obvious point, but maybe it's something we don't actually believe, right? If he is God, that means that none of us are God. At the very beginning of the Bible, Adam and Eve, they're told not to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And that's not because God's trying to withhold something from them, but that's because God has already given them everything that was good. And that's what he says. He says it's good, and when he puts them there, he says it's very good. This knowledge, it's not something that God is withholding from them, but it's something that the humans take because they decide that what they see as good is more important than what God sees as good. Adam and Eve, rather than listening to God, they say, you know what, I want to be like God. And they take that wisdom into their own hands. Adam and Eve, they want to be like God, and that's obviously ridiculous. It literally says that they already are. They're made in God's image. And yet, rather than trusting in him and obeying him, they want to live according to what they see as good. They throw away what God says is good, and they want to live according to their own goodness. And this has been the problem of humans ever since. Right up until that point, God is the only one who had attributed anything as good. You can read those first few chapters of Genesis. God is what decides is good and not good until Adam and Eve look at that fruit. And it looked good in their eyes, even though God said it wasn't. And this is our problem, saying that I'm going to live according to my own wisdom, according to what I think is good, and I'm going to kind of ignore what God says because I just want to try to be God. Do you see why this is important? To recognize that he is God and that I am not. It's so easy, I think, even as Christians, to fall into this trap. To say, God, I know you kind of laid this out for us in your scripture, but can you be a little bit flexible on that? God, would you mind just, you know, like, okay, I'll follow you on these things, but maybe for this, could you be a little flexible and just bend to my side a little bit, God? Don't we do that? I think we all do that, right? Like God, okay, I get it, but just this one time, can you kind of bend to my will a little bit? Can you just kind of join my team for right now? God, I want you to be on my team. I want you to do this for me. No. He is God. Right? He is God, and we are not. God, he doesn't have to bend to our will. Actually, we have to die to ourselves and align ourselves with him. And with his ways. He's not just going to join your team. It's not that way around. We have to join in God's ways. Romans chapter 3, it says, we have all fallen short of God's glory, of his goodness. Ephesians chapter 2, it says, it kind of describes who we are, and it says, we are sinners that are desperately in need of the grace of Jesus. We're looking at this kind of individually, but corporately as a church, again, right? We're not God. And as we reflect on our 55th anniversary, we see who is God, who brought us to this place, who has done amazing things throughout our history. We've probably proven that we as a church are not God, right? Sometimes we've stumbled along the way, and yet he has been faithful. Maybe in moments corporately, we've tried to live on our own strength and our own wisdom. And it's a great thing that we can celebrate that even despite us, in many ways, that God continues to lead and to build his church. He alone is God. And we who are celebrating this anniversary of our church can recognize that we are a part of something even much greater than ourselves or than ECAC. We are not God. So who does this verse say we are? It says that we are His. This is our identity, that we are His. And our identity, it's so important because if we don't understand our identity, it kind of messes with everything else. It feels like we have absolutely no grounding. And we're going to search everywhere that we can to try to fill that hole, to try to find our identity. But friends, when we truly know that He is God and that we are His, that when we follow Jesus, we are adopted as loved children of the King. When we recognize that we are His and that He delights in us, we feel less of a need to take the fruit. We feel less of a need to live according to what I think is good because we trust in what God says is good. And we don't just trust in what God says is good because, you know, we're a people that love to follow rules, but we trust in what God says is good, because we rest in Him, our good shepherd, and we trust in Him, and we are formed and shaped by Him and His character. We as a church, ECAC, we are His, right? That's why we try to listen to Him. Why we recognize that Jesus is the head of our church. And again, as we look at this and remember that He is God, I want to remind us that we don't need to please anybody but God Himself. We can feel so much pressure from the world. We can get worried about what the world is going to do to us. Friends, we don't need to please anybody but Jesus. You know, the greatest threat that we face as a church, it's not culture. The greatest threat that we face as a church, it's not the world coming at us. The greatest threat that we face as a church is that Jesus Christ would shut us down because we're not faithful to Him. It's Him who builds the church, and we need to be faithful to Him and Him alone. Here in this verse, it says, we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. What a beautiful image. As you live your life, remember, God is the shepherd. It's not any one of us, even maybe as you try to lead ministries maybe in this church, remember that God is the shepherd. Everything is His. We are His, and it even says that the pasture that we graze in is His. There's this interesting author by the name of Philip Keller, and he wrote a pretty famous book where he was actually a shepherd. Like he got a bunch of sheep, took care of the sheep, and then he became a pastor. And he kind of shares his insight because throughout Scripture, you see this metaphor pretty often, right? That God is a shepherd and we are His sheep. And he wrote this book reflecting specifically on Psalm 23, but really giving insights. What does it mean that God is our shepherd? I want to read us a couple of quotes for us from that book. This is the first. He says, I belong to Him simply because He deliberately chose to create me as the object of His own affection. A little later, he says, in a second, very real and vital sense, I truly belong to Him simply because He has bought me again at the incredible price of His own laid down life and shed blood. A little later, really reflecting on this shepherd and sheep metaphor, he says this. It is no accident that God has chosen to call us sheep. The behavior of sheep and human beings is similar. Our mass mind or mob instincts, our fears and timidity, our stubbornness and stupidity, our perverse habits are all parallels of profound importance. Yet, despite these adverse characteristics,
Christ chooses us, buys us, calls us by name, makes us his own, and delights in caring for us. What a beautiful image. Friends, if you're a follower of Jesus, you've been bought at a price and you are his sheep. Do we submit to God, knowing who he is, that he's God, he's the shepherd? Do we submit to him as our good shepherd? Right? Not trying to live according to what I think is good or what I want, but trust that he is the shepherd who loves and cares for us and leads us. I love at the end of the book, he reflects on that great line from Psalm 23 where it says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And really, he reflects on this idea that it's like our shepherd is so amazing and so loving, and the life he has given us is just so wonderful. Why would I want to go anywhere else? Will we be a people that dwell in the house of the Lord? This is a choice for all people, right? Are we going to live according to God's ways or according to my own ways? Right, faith, it's not just believing that there is a God. James, he says that even the demons believe that. But faith is truly placing yourself under the kingship of God, under who he is. Reflecting on this choice, I want to read us a bit from Romans chapter 8 because it contrasts the two. Either you're going to be living according to the flesh, right? You're going to kind of choose like, this is what I think is good, this is what I want, or live according to the Spirit, actually trusting. You know, God is my shepherd. I want to trust in him and follow him. So I want to read us kind of a big chunk of Romans 8 and really focus on this contrast between the two choices. Are we going to trust God, our shepherd, or are we going to live according to our own ways? We'll start here in verse 5. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. That's like an intimate term, that God is our Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. It's the word of the Lord. So friends, in our world, and there's always so much going on around us, right? It can feel a little bit chaotic sometimes. A world that seems more divided and increasingly violent maybe. Can we be a church that lives according to God's ways? That decides, you know what I think is good and what I want probably isn't what's best, but can we faithfully submit as sheep to the shepherd? In a world where truth matters less, can we recognize that he is God, not me? Friends, we don't serve anyone but the King Jesus. We don't serve fear. We don't serve social media or anything like that, but we serve Jesus alone, who is our good, good shepherd. And when we truly do that, when we recognize that he is God, we can be still and we can have peace because he is God and I am not. Maybe even when we feel afraid or confused or angry, he is the shepherd, not me. Can we trust in him? Friends, do we truly belong to him? Right? It says we are his. Do we belong to him? Do you know him? Do you rest in his presence, knowing that he is God and everything's going to be okay? This psalm, Psalm 100, we've read it a few times. It's one of rejoicing and excitement and worship. Friends, that's because of who the shepherd is. This is a psalm of excitement because we get to be the sheep to this good, good shepherd. We're the sheep of his pasture. And we live in contentment and joy and even excitement because Jesus paid the price for us to live in his good ways. Well, let me pray for us as we reflect on this and maybe even just give this up to God, right? What are we holding on to a little too tightly? Where are we maybe not trusting in God fully and trying to live according to your own ways, rather than trusting and knowing that he is God? Maybe this week, where is he inviting you to be still as you know that? So I'm going to invite our worship team up, and we'll just have a minute of prayer here.